is very pleasant for the Nicklebys in their little cottage in Bow. They have everything they need.
Mrs. Nickleby, there's another delivery from the Terrible Brothers.
And more besides.
What can it be?
Oh, look, Mama, it's a cruet set. The very thing we need. Isn't it elegant?
Yes. I was rather hoping for a writing case, but I suppose this will be useful.
Of course it will. Let us show Smike. Where is Smike?
Who? Oh, Smike. I don't know.
I'm very anxious about him at the moment.
Oh, there's no need to worry about him. He's quite well.
Really? Do you think so?
Well, I've not heard him complain of feeling unwell.
No, indeed. He never does. And yet his cheek is so hollow and flushed. His breath so quick and heavy and his frame so feeble and exhausted. It is quite alarming.
Well, he's always been a peculiar-looking chap. You're imagining things, I'm sure.
But Kate is right. There is a dread disease in which the struggle between soul and body is so gradual and the result so sure that day by day and grain by grain, the mortal part wastes and withers away. The disease sometimes moves in giant strides and sometimes at a tardy, sluggish pace, but slow or quick is ever sure and certain. Smike, though, continues to assure his friends that he feels better each day, and so their fears abate, their hopes grow, and happiness is restored in the Nickleby cottage.
Kate, I am going to take a walk in the garden.
I shall come with you, Mama.
Oh, there's no need, really.
But I should like to.
Very well.
Look at the wild flowers. Aren't they lovely?
Lovely.
And the herbs. And the dear little bluebells. Oh, and...
Hem!
Mama, what was that?
Upon my word, my dear, I don't know. Unless it was the gentleman in the next door house.
Ahem!
Seems designed to attract our attention.
It is designed to attract our attention. Or rather, my attention. You needn't be at all uneasy, my dear.
But what is it?
Kate is interrupted by a large cucumber shooting into the air with the velocity of a skyrocket. It narrowly misses her head and then falls at her mother's feet.
What an
earth! Kate is interrupted again, this time by a fine vegetable marrow of unusually large dimensions. This is followed by several cucumbers together. And finally, the air is darkened by dozens of onions, turnips, radishes, and other small vegetables which fall rolling and scattering in all directions.
Mama! It's raining garden produce! Mama, pray come inside!
Kate attempts to catch her mother's hand and run into the house, but her mother pulls her back. Meanwhile, a large black velvet cap appears over the wall. Under this cap is an old face with two wild eyes rolling in their sockets. The face has a leering look, most ugly to behold.
Queen of my soul, this goblin sick!
Mama, I think we should go inside.
Take my love, pray, be quiet.
Are you a princess?
It may surprise you to hear I am not, sir.
Then are you any relation to the Archbishop of Canterbury or the Pope of Rome? I was told you were niece to the Commissioners of Paining.
Pray, Mama, let us back away slowly from this madman.
Whoever has spread such reports, sir, has taken great liberties with my name.
The idea, niece to the Commissioner of Paving.
I am many things, but I am not that kind, sir.
Beautiful madam, I have estates, lighthouses, fish ponds, a whalery of my own in the North Sea.
Oh.
If you will marry me, we can send my toothpick to the Commander-in-Chief. He will clear the house of my enemies who want my property. And then, once we are married, love, bliss, and rapture.
I cannot believe a stranger could say such things.
Oh, no, I. Kate, my dear, I have hardly the power to speak.
Sir, I have made up my mind to remain a widow and devote myself to my children. You may not suppose I am the mother of two children. Indeed, many people have doubted it, but it is the case. And as to my being young enough to marry again...
Mother?
Oh, I couldn't think of it for an instant.
To this avowal, the suitor evinces a very irreverent degree of inattention, and springing on top of the wall, displaying his small clothes and grey worsteds to the fullest advantage, he stands on one leg and bellows,
Potatoes! Tires! Earlobes! Car wheels!
While making this noise, he accidentally loses balance and falls out of sight.
I do hope he's all right. I'm sure he's unscathed. Poor, weak-minded creature.
Do you suppose this gentleman is mad?
Can anybody who sees him entertain any other opinion, Mama?
He is nothing of the kind. It's some plot of these people to possess themselves of his property. Didn't he say so himself?
But, Mama, he says such extraordinary things.
I know. He expresses himself with such poetic language. He cannot possibly be a madman.
No, no, Kate. There's a great deal too much method in his madness. Depend upon that, my dear.
Not wishing to argue with her own mother, Kate decides the best course of action is to change the subject.
Mama, let us go inside now.
No, no.
I believe I heard the bell. Perhaps it is another delivery.
Oh. In that case, I suppose we must go and proceed.
You open it, Mama.
Oh, it is a writing case. A very expensive writing case. How did they know? I only mentioned it 3 or 4 times.
They are so generous.
The Cheerables are generous indeed, and they are no less generous with their company. Brother Charles or Brother Ned look in at least one evening in the week, while Frank Cheerable just so happens to be passing the door on some business or other almost every day.
Frank Cheerable is quite an attractive man, is he not, Kate?
Why, I wouldn't know, Mama.
Oh, bless my heart, Kate. What a colour you have gone. Why, you're quite flushed.
Mama, what strange things you fancy.
It is not fancy. You do. You look very flushed indeed.
Mama, if I am, then your saying so is not going to help matters.
Very flushed. As flushed as flush can be. I don't think I've seen you that flushed since I...
Mama, please, we have visitors.
The visitor, as you may have guessed, turns out to be none other than the aforementioned Frank Cheerable.
Good evening, Mr. Cheerable. I am so sorry Nicholas is not at home. Kate, my dear, you must be both Nicholas and yourself.
Miss Nickleby need be but herself. I, if I may venture to say so, oppose all change in her.
Kate sits quietly by the window. Frank lingers near her and finally sits beside her. No doubt they have a great many things to say to each other.
How are you?
Quite well.
You look quite well.
And no doubt they are best said in a low voice. This is beginning to get a little tedious for Mrs. Nickleby, who prefers the conversation to centre around, well, herself. When suddenly...
What is that extraordinary noise?
It sounds as if it's coming from the chimney.
Is it a trap bird?
Passing and failed in her truth, the beautiful maid I adore.
No, I don't think so.
What can it be?
This question is answered in part by two legs now appearing and dangling above the grate.
This must be some drunken fellow. No thief would announce his presence thus.
Is he clad in small clothes and grey worsted stockings?
He is, exactly that. Do you know him, Mark?
Kate, my dear, I have given him no encouragement, none whatever. He is very respectful, but if I am to be persecuted in this way, if vegetable what's-his-names and all kinds of garden stuff are to strew my path and gentlemen are to come choking up our chimneys, I do not know what to do.
Indeed, it is.
Oh, I know, it is the burden of beauty, a burden I must always carry. But I would rather, I declare, have been born a pig-faced lady than be exposed to such a life as this.
Frank and Kate look in irrepressible astonishment at Mrs. Nickleby.
He gives me great pain, but don't hurt a hair of his head, I beg you. On no account hurt a hair of his head.
Of course not, Mrs. Nickleby. Though under existing circumstances, it would be very difficult to hurt a hair of the gentleman's head, inasmuch as that part of his person is some feet up the chimney.
Help me!
Quick, do something. You're suffocating.
Without further hesitation, Frank Cheerable pulls at the shorts and worsteds with such heartiness as to bring the gentleman floundering into the room with greater precipitation than he had quite calculated upon.
Don't let him come any nearer.
I have him secure.
He is a madman who has escaped from the next house.
I am surprised at you, Kate. You know he is an honourable, sincere and dignified gentleman. And yet I'm afraid I must repeat the answer I gave him this morning and decline his kind proposal once again.
Have you quite finished?
I really cannot say anything more.
Then bring in the bottled lightning, a clean tumbler, and a corkscrew.
For some reason, nobody steps forward to execute his order.
And I should like a thunder sandwich.
Again, nobody brings forth the article he requests.
If anyone here can make such a thing, I should like to have one also.
And bring me a fricassee of boot tops smothered in a goldfish sauce.
I don't think I'll try one of those.
Mrs. Nickleby looks sternly at her daughter. The old gentleman follows her gaze, spies Kate, and leaps to his feet in a state of excitement.
Oh, I see her now. I see her. My love, my life, my bride, my peerless beauty. She has come at last, and all is gas and gaiters.
Mr. Terrible!
Kate retreats behind Frank. Meanwhile, the old gentleman skips about the room, kissing his hand violently.
Oh, she has come. All the beans I have are hers if she will take me for her slave.
Well, it is a great relief to have somebody else mistaken for me. Oh, a very great relief. Indeed, I am often mistaken for my daughter Kate.
Come on! Cat, puss, kit, kit, grimalkin, tabby, brindle!
As he speaks, the old gentleman swings his arms violently around and advances and retreats on Mrs. Nickleby in a savage dance, much like young boys use to frighten pigs or sheep. Mrs. Nickleby wastes no time in... fainting away immediately.
Oh, my goodness. I'll attend to Mama, but pray, Frank, take him away. Take him away.
Of course. Come here, you fiend.
Frank has some difficulty complying with this request, but eventually manages to remove the amorous madman from the room.
Kiss me. Stop. Let go. I can suck you back up the chimney.
As soon as the coast is clear, Mrs. Nickleby revives again.
Oh, Kate, I shall never forgive myself. Never.
Hush, Mother, I know you might feel foolish.
He is gone. You are quite safe.
That poor gentleman has lost his senses, and I am the unhappy cause.
You, the cause?
I hoped the disappointment might not be too much for him, but you see what a wreck he is now. I warned you and Nicholas that we should proceed kindly and carefully. But neither of you would listen.
But Mama...
Though, of course, neither you nor he have much experience in love. And I know one is not meant to hide one's bushel under a light. Or is it a light under one's bushel? Anyway, I sometimes feel as if that is what I must do in order to prevent myself being hounded by this constant stream of admirers. Don't you think so?
Yes, Mrs. Nickleby. Absolutely.
Yes, Mama. Of course, Mama.